Thank you for faithfulness in giving. It's amazing what God does as he provides in your life, and the ministry goes out amongst all the world because we different missionaries that we're able to support. And every time we pray for a new missionary, every Sunday, we highlight some of the different missionaries that we support. It's great. It's an exciting time. And this is an extra special Sunday because the missionaries that we are praying for are here today, and I'm so grateful. I would like Samuel and Sharon to come up here and say hello. I want you to see both of them. Samuel's going to speak in just a moment. But we always pray for them. Now, this picture has almost all of their family. You're missing your newest daughter-in-law, who just a month ago, right? Tell us, this is Sharon. This is Samuel. Go ahead and tell us about what just happened.
Okay. Well, yeah. Hi, Living Way Church family. I'm Sharon. I'm his cousin. So, yeah. Anyway, my son just got married 4 weeks ago. So, praise God. I have a Chinese daughter-in-law now. Yeah, but we need to put that up again. Yeah. And, we're so happy to be here. And thank you for praying for us. We really need that. We continue to need that. And this is family. You know, it's literally family, plus also spiritual family. And we're just so happy to be here, and we're honored that we can share with you all today. Amen. Church,
would you stretch out your hands, and we're going to pray for the Laos. And Lord, we thank you for what you are doing in Revival Church, Lord, and for in Hong Kong and China and all around the world. We thank you for our partnership with this wonderful family. Lord, we pray continued blessings. We rejoice in the good news of their son's wedding, and we thank you for their grandchildren, and we thank you for all the great blessings that you have poured out into this family, and will continue to do so. Lord, we bless them in the name of the Lord. Amen. All right. Thank you, Sharon. And Samuel, you're going to stay up here because you are going to minister the word. I'm so excited because I'm going to be honest with you. I've never heard Samuel preach, but I still by faith said, I'm going to ask you to preach the word of God.
Translate for me?
So give it up for Samuel Lau.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. Good morning, church. Good morning. 早上好. That is Chinese. I remember the first time I followed Dennis to England. Yeah, a little armor prayer for him to bring his luggage and suitcase to a Bible college. And then I just helped him do some supporting stuff. And on Saturday night, he told me this. Hey, Samuel, I'm leaving to a Chinese group, about 50 people, to preach tomorrow in the Bible seminary. You're going to preach and talk to all these scholars and Bible school students. There are about 200 people. Back in 1997, I told him, hey, Pastor Dennis, my English is not very good. I'm not, capable enough to preach in English. He said, no, it's okay. You just get on the pulpit and speak in tongues. And then he taught me one sentence in English. He said, okay, brother and sister, pray for the gift of interpretation of the Holy Spirit. So you want to exercise this gift this morning? Oh, by the grace of God. Hallelujah. This morning, I'm going to share with you about faith. Everybody say faith. Overcoming faith. So I became a Christian back in 1987 in Revival Christian Church. This is our church right now. So we did a veneration since 2019. We have around 1,200 people in our congregation, and some other two more branches in Hong Kong and Japan, Taiwan. Our Paris church did pretty well in Paris. They brought some French congregation in Paris, and also some small congregation in England, and our little ministry in China, different places. So by the grace of God, for the past 55 years, God's grace has been with us. So because of this guy, Pastor Dennis Falcon, my father-in-law, who has been sent to Hong Kong by 1969. That was way back ago. And we're here to celebrate our sending church, Shiloh Christian Church in Oakland, California, for their 60th anniversary. That's why we're here, and with the family reunion last week. So Pastor Dennis was in Hong Kong since 69. He started to learn the language and can be able to preach in Chinese around 6 months. So that probably some of you already heard this testimony. Anyone of you never heard of it? There's some of his book back in the back. Okay. So Dennis, Pastor Dennis, and my mother-in-law, like Kathy Balcom, she's the one, you know, playing piano to help him to start the ministry. I especially want to show this picture to you. When he was called to Hong Kong, the door of China is still closed, not open until 78. So Pastor Dennis and Kathy, they always went to a place called Lok Ma Zhao, yeah, which is the border from Hong Kong and China. So there's a river. Do you see the river? Yeah, there's a river over there. So beyond the river, this river. Yeah, beyond the river on this land, this is called Shenzhen. Yeah, anyone, you heard about Shenzhen? Which is the metropolitan city of China right now. They've been praying and praying until the door of China opened. So this is Shenzhen right now. Yeah, metropolitan city, you know, over 13 million people, you know. 13 million people. Yeah, live in this city alone. Yeah, so it's very close to Hong Kong. Yeah, about like within 1 hour. Sometimes, you know, if you take the speed train, it's about 20 minutes. We can get from Hong Kong to the middle of Shenzhen. We have quite a big congregation of Shenzhen. Some of them will travel to Hong Kong once a month to attend our Sunday service. So when the door of China opened, Pastor Dennis be able to go into China. See, anyone, have you seen this picture before? I want to bring a little highlight about this picture. This is one guy this is Dennis. He was sitting in here. See him? Yeah, okay, this guy. Okay, I enlarge. Yeah, thank God for the technology. See him? Yeah, he's young. And one guy over here. Can you see him? I believe you heard of his name before. His brother Yun, aka the Heavenly Man. Have you heard about it? Yeah, the Heavenly Man. He sat on the truck with Dennis back in 1970. This picture was taken around in the 80s when Pastor Dennis was able to go into China. And then, because there were a few of Caucasian in China. So they have to smuggle him from village to village. Yeah, this thing is the coffin. You know, in the rural area of China, they don't, you know, have money for woods, you know, just put in on this thing, you know. This one guy at the back, yeah, see? This guy. We call him Zhang Yongliang. He's one of the key leader of the house church of mainland China. He has a book very familiar, because I Stand with Christ, when he was in prison for many years. So Dennis, Pastor Dennis was the one pastor from the United States, go to China, the earliest missionary in China, to brought revival to the house churches. So these are the pictures, old days picture. He got the chance to meet with the people, not in a nice room like this, but in all those wilderness, open area. Well, those are the old picture. Probably some of you have been seeing this. This morning you saw some over that room, right? I'm going to show you some recent pictures. This picture was taken last year when I was in China, a city called Shanghai. Have you ever heard about Shanghai? Yeah, I got a chance to meet with some leaders. These pictures is all leaders. Yeah, all leaders gather together. They have their praise and worship. All small group leaders. The music's not bad at all, right? Yeah, they have awesome worship. There's a calling upon God. I got a chance to do a revival meeting with a lot of young people, yeah, in Shanghai. Everyone probably represent about 20 people because they're small group leaders, house group leaders. So they are together. I brought a training to them so they have their own worships, you know, that they have some lighting, pretty modern, right? So a little different from some pictures you saw from Dennis before, right? This is the reason lately, that was last year. Some churches like this. You know, you probably heard about the tear down of the cross from a city called Wanzhou. Have you heard about this? We are in that very city. This photo is taken in January 2025, this year. When Sharon and I, we got a chance to visit, you know, many cities. We stopped by one city called Wanzhou. They told us, hey, Pastor Sharon and Samuel, can you help to put together a prayer meetings? We have around like 80, probably less than 100 leaders gathered together to do a prayer meeting. I said, okay, because of, you know, the situation in China was pretty tense though. So they said, well, we probably do two meetings, two nights, hit and run. You have a meeting and then go to other city. I said, that's good. You know, do not, you know, announce, you know, keep the size small. Yeah, low profile. like under 100 people is good. So, but you see, this photo is more than 100 people. This is Sharon's praying and leading worship in Mandarin. Only one Caucasian, brown hair. See all the young people there in worship. They are praying diligently. Just like tonight's meeting, seeking the Lord. Yeah, so this is why the revival break out, because people are seeking the Lord together. Amen? Even they're under high pressure from the government, but the Christian, young people, old people, they said, we have faith to come together. We are not afraid. I told them, hey, I asked them this, will Sharon and I bring any trouble to you guys? Are we going to jeopardize you, giving, you know, causing dangers upon you? You know, they told me that, yeah, probably. But, well, would it be better if we do it on Zoom? They said, well, we can do it, but we still want you to come. We still want you to come. I said, why? Because we love you. We want to tap and bless you. We want you to touch us and bless us. Hallelujah. You know, it's good to see, you know, have a meeting on Zoom, on online, but it's even better that we can sit together in person. Amen? In person to feel the presence of the Lord. Amen? Touch and bless. Hallelujah. Can you do me a favor? Touch three people and bless he or she, you know, around you. Say, the Lord loved you. God loved you. Come on, come on. Have some action, church. Touch and bless the people around you. Hey, say, God loved you. I love you. Hallelujah. We are family. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm blessed to be a part of the Balkan family. I was overrun by all the names. I couldn't be able to remember that. I'm really blessed and proud of it. But even more excited and honored to be a part of God's family. Amen? You and I, Johnny, have Jesus. We are brother. We are sister. Amen? Yeah, even we have different skin color. Look slightly different. But in our spirit, we are the same. Hallelujah. Amen? We are brothers and sisters. So this morning, I'm going to share a passage of scripture with this topic, overcoming faith to every one of us. Amen? Come on, repeat after me. What is the topic? Well, you know what? I come from a background in Hong Kong, China. The church meeting is not that quiet. You scare me, you know what? Come on. What's the topic of the title? Now you're awake. Hallelujah. Okay, that's a passage of scripture. Can you help me to read together? Hallelujah. Can you see it? Yeah, I have a little problem of seeing that. Okay, come on. Read louder. One, two, three. Come on. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listened to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by a fisherman who were washing the nets. He got into one of the boats, one belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the net for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the net. And when they have done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled the partners to the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions astonished at the catch of the fish they have taken. And so was James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partner. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they put their boat up on shore, left everything, and follow him. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we ask you to help us to go into understand the Word of God, not only hearing the Word of God, be part of the Word of God. Father God, thank you for this morning. The presence of the Holy Spirit is with us. The Word of Jesus reminds us we are the follower of Jesus. Bless every one of us here in this room. Be able to understand the Word of Scripture and also help us to be able to embrace it and carry out into action. I pray for this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So this passage, anyone heard of this passage before? Look, one thing fascinating to me. The Bible said, Peter saw this. Saw what? Saw what? The fish. And then he has a response. He has an action came after that. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. So Peter repents, right? Not because of he heard the word of God. He heard what Jesus preaching. And he has no response. But until he saw something, hey, doesn't it, you know, sounds like many one of us? We came to church, we heard the pastor preaching, you know, silence right now. Nothing, no response. But we see, you know, sickness being healed. We see someone, you know, finance situation being blessed. Oh, we say, wow, Jesus is good. Yeah, we're a little late of response. Yeah, but we are human. Sometimes our faith level is so low, we want to touch and grab something. Then we believe. Amen? That's why we need the Holy Spirit to help us be able to carry the miracle upon people. That because they need to see. Amen? People need to see something. Hallelujah. So when we go out to preach the gospel, come on, let's not only talk the talk, let's walk the walk together. Amen? Bring blessing upon people's life. Your marriage is a witness. Your children is a witness. Amen? Your business, everything that we do and we demonstrate, we are Christian, little Christ in us. Hallelujah. Amen? Can you help the person next to you say, hey, you're a little Christ. You're a little Christ. Hallelujah. This morning, Pastor Daniel said, we are the agents of Jesus. Yeah, we're agents to show people how, you know, the awesome, the greatness of Jesus. Hallelujah. So put out into water deep. That was Jesus' challenge to Peter. So this morning, I want to bring you three things. Number one, put out into deep water. Believing God will give us faith to overcome the past. Hallelujah. So remember, those disciples, they work all night. They try to catch some fish, but they failed to do so, right? When Jesus, they're washing their net, ready to go home to get some rest. But Jesus showed up. Hey, Jesus, what did Jesus told them? Jesus said, try again. Everybody say, try again. But Peter said, oh, Master, I did all night. We are the expert. We are fishermen. You are just a carpenter. You don't even know our business. Hey, we were all night. But Jesus said, no, no, no. Do it one more time. Hallelujah. Sometimes we try, preach gospel. Hey, Pastor Daniel, I try. And as a pastor, I always encourage people, one more time. One more try. Go to talk with that person. Oh, I already say sorry, you know, when our relationship, you know, went south. You know, but he's still, you know, not responding. One more try. Amen? Bring reconciliation. One more try to repair the relationship. One more try to pray for a sick people. One more try to reach out to the lost. Amen? Everybody come up to me. So by faith, overcome the past. Amen? I don't know how your past life is. I came to church when I was 17. My family, you know, having... it's not a very healthy and good family. I live in one of this tiny room, around 120 square feet. You know, this is a government building in Hong Kong, you know, about 16 story high, and every flat was 60 people. Yeah, this guy, you know, is one of the celebrities in Hong Kong, live very close to where I lived, you know, and then he come back, you know, to help the government to promote the new building. So I live in this kind of environment. So look how small it is. This is a Hong Kong regular, you know, residential building from the government. My parents, they were refugees. Yeah, escaped from mainland China. I have two sisters. They, you know, gave birth in China. Yeah, I was born in Hong Kong. The first time I met with my sisters and relatives when I was 12. Because I was born in the 60s. The door of China never did not open until 78. So in early 80s, my first time returned to my hometown to see my relatives. You know, we grew up in this kind of a small apartment. My father was an alcoholic. I remember I grew up, my mom always broke out in tears. We were so poor. She has to carry me to go out to friends and relatives to borrow money. Yeah, my dad did not work. You know, he always got drunk. I remember when I grew up in this kind of, you know, tiny apartment, we have no TV at all. So we have to go to our neighbor's, you know, door to peek on the TV. Back then, the TV was still black and white. I don't know if you still have that memory. You know, I remember one year, I forgot, you know, when I was a kid, my dad finally went to work for like a month. And then he bought the first TV at home. I was so pleased and happy. Then I don't need to go to the auntie and uncle's doorway to, you know, peek on the TV. But not too long, I remember one night, he got a little drunk. And then he grabbed his, you know, wine bottle, throw it on the TV. I was sitting there at the dinner table. See how small it is? You know, the TV is just right next to us. And then I saw him, you know, after he got drunk, throw the bottle on TV, the TV broken, and he was walking like this, you know, went on to seek his friend for some more other drinks. My mom broke out with tears, you know. This is how my childhood. I saw not only my family, the family, you know, our neighbors, all like this, the auntie and uncle are always fighting. No happy family from my perspective. So when I grew up as a teenager, you know, I saw people were wearing, you know, famous shoes like this. You know, back then was the tennis shoe was so popular. I don't know you ever, you know anyone of this. But you know what? I only get the chance to wear this. The Chinese, you know, little small, you know, the white shoes. I always jealous about, you know, other people. Why? How come? I felt the earth is so unfair. Yeah, why people got this fortune? Yeah, I haven't. So when I go, I have a lot of anger. I become a gambler because my parents, they are so broke. They don't have money. So I steal money from other people. I play, you know, mahjong. I don't know, you know, what is mahjong. I do all this gambling thing. I'm very good in math. So, but I find out I don't like to play with my friend and classmate because they have no money. When I was 13, I changed my strategy. I play with my classmate's mother. Those auntie, you know, they have money, but they are very bad in skill. I have better memory with them. I take a little advantage of them. So when I grew up, you know, I like a street kid until someone brought me to church. Brought me to church. Told me, hey, Samuel, you know, God loves you. I said, I don't believe in that. And people told me, hey, Samuel, you know, you have a bright future ahead of you. I said, no, look at my family, broken. You know, my parents almost, you know, getting divorced. I see other auntie and uncle fighting. I don't think, because the neighbor I grew up with, a lot of triad. I don't know, you know, fighting, all this bad thing happening among our neighbors. I don't think I will have a bright future. But their brother told me, hey, trust in God. Your past will not define your future. He said, yes, your past will affect you, but cannot define your future. If you put your faith and life in the hand of Jesus Christ, He will guide you and lead you to put a full stop of the curses, of all the lousy and bad things on your past. Do you want it? Back in 87, in Revival Christian Church, I gave my life to Jesus. I said, I want it. Put out into water dip, believing Jesus that my past can be changed. Amen? Yeah, I believe we are all have different kind of history. Your history, some of you are longer than mine, right? You have 80 years of history, 78 years of history. Yeah, we have, you know, different length of history. But I believe every day is a new day for us. Amen? we are, well, more or less the same, you know, have some influence from our family, from the past we had, right? But I believe because of Jesus Christ, the past is not the only factor to determine our future. Amen? With God, we can. Amen? We can believe Jesus Christ can change our family. When I go up, I have no confidence in marriage. I have no confidence in family and marriage because no good example around me. But by the grace of God, He gave me a beautiful wife and two awesome children, all because of Jesus Christ. Yeah, this is the photo we've taken on Daniel's 80th birthday. So you can see my family. Daniel showed the picture. I did not have my daughter-in-law. This picture, my daughter-in-law, yeah, already in the picture. She was a fiance of my son back then. So look at that. Look at that. It's the grace of God. Look at that. When I look at this picture, it's all grace of the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, this is me, the first time I ever get a chance to preach in China in 1994, yeah, December. I joined the ministry November 1st, 1994, full-time ministry in our church. That picture is taken like 1 month after I joined the ministry. I went to the hometown of Brother Yun, the Heavenly Man's hometown in this. Yeah, so I learned how to share. I share my testimony, translating for American sister Julie. She is one of the Bible carrier in our ministry for so long. So God changed my life. This picture, the first time I felt this, my life is worth, there's value in my life. In the past, I always think I'm nobody. I'm nobody. I'm a small potato. You know, my life is lousy. When I, even, you know, after a couple of years in church, I'm learning, I felt loved, but I don't think I am capable in love. I quit study when I was 15. I did not go to school anymore, you know, I could study. I only good in my study was mathematics because I like to gamble. Bad in English, lousy English. So you can, do you understand my English, by the way? Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, college is so great. You guys are all getting receiving the gift of interpretation, I think. Yeah. So I learned everything from church. I learned everything from church. The Holy Spirit taught me everything. So that was the very first time I found, wow, my life means something. You don't know what is your value is until you're being used. Amen? Okay, think of it. Okay, what is this? Tissue. I don't have money. For example, imagine this is a $10 bill. Okay, I don't have it. Okay, imagine this is a $10 bill. This is a tissue. Is it the same? Which one is $10 bills? Which one is more valuable? Which one is more valuable? Okay, if we're putting the $10 bill as a bookmark. We're putting the tissue as a bookmark. What is different? No different. Well, when you're thirsty, you want a bottle of water, you want a can of Coca-Cola. What if you bring this thing to the cashier and say, hey, I want to pay for my Coke? You'll be kicked out of the door, right? Well, I lost my $10 bill. Okay. If you give this $10 to the cashier, does it mean anything? Oh, yeah. You know, the value of our life will be determined when the time that is using it. If your life is not being used, well, we put it in our bookshelf. No different. Amen? It only, you know, shows our difference when you are being used by God. Amen? So that was the very time I felt I'm useful. I'm valuable. Because I placed my life on the hand of God. Hallelujah. Amen? So I encourage you. Come on, step out, step up. Hallelujah. Do not look down on yourself. I have a really low self-esteem. You know, as I told you, I have lousy English. I only know men and women when I, you know, in school. I remember when the age of 14, someone took me to a fancy place, you know, restaurant. I need to go to the bathroom. But I stood there for 1 minute. I don't know where to go. I saw a word called gentleman, a word ladies. When I was in the age of 40, I don't know what this gentleman means and lady means. I know this word man and woman. I think man is a shorter word, woman is a longer word. So gentleman is a longer word. So I went for the shorter one. When I opened the door, someone screamed, I went out. That was me. That was me. You know, 14 years old. Don't even know how what is the difference between gentleman and lady. Yeah, I always have self-esteem. But Jesus changed my life. Yeah, with faith, we can put our past to the hand of God. Amen? Upon the cross, then you and I can have a new future. And the second one is put out into deep water, believing God will give us faith to overcome difficulties. Amen? So the first one is overcome what? The past. And the second one is overcome what? Difficulties. I believe, you know, you and I have, you know, more or less different kind of difficulties, right? Some people facing the difficulties on sickness, you know, on different area. My mom has some difficulty lately. She was hospitalized last week. We are struggling, you know, should we return to Hong Kong earlier? But I don't want to miss the family reunion, so we keep praying. But the grace of God, she got discharged after 3 days in the hospital. Yeah. So, yeah, we all face different kind of difficulties, but in trust of God. Amen? Put out into water deep, the overcoming faith. Help us to overcoming the past and the difficulties. In this passage, look at the passage deeply. The disciple, Simon Peter, you know, came across a miracle in their life. So there's a key to help you and I to open the gateway of miracle. So look closer of this passage. There's a line. Peter said, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. And then what did he say? But because you say so, I will let down the net. He did something. He carried out into action. Which word is the most important word on Peter's saying? Think about it. Help me out. Which word do you think is the most important? You. And any suggestion? Because you say so. Very good. Because you say so. Because the word of Jesus, right? But I'm going to suggest to you, in this passage, there's one particular word. It's very important. Look at the green letter. Look at the green letter. What somebody said, Jesus said, put out into deep water and let down the net of catch. That was the command. That was the suggestion. Not suggestion. That was the request of Jesus, right? Jesus requested Peter to respond. We want him to be obeyed. And Peter said, okay, because you say so, I will let down the net. Hallelujah. So, in the green letter, reminds us we need to be the hearer of the word of God. When we heard what Jesus told us, we need to be the doer of the word. Amen? So Peter did what Jesus told him. Amen? So we are not only the hearer of the word, we are also the what? Doer. So in this passage, already told us the hearer and the doer. But between the hearing and the doing, there's something always in the midst. Always in the middle. Look, I highlighted in blue letter. What is the blue letter said? Look, Peter said, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. So what does the blue letter mean? He has struggled. He has difficulties. So when we heard the word of God and then we have different thing, our blue letters. Look at here. Everything in blue. Master, even the comma is also in blue. The punctuation mark is also in blue. Hey, I want to come to the meeting. However, I'm busy. Oh, our mission needs some support in prayer, in funding, let's donate. Yes, I want to do it, but I have my problem, right? Well, we have all sorts of situation in pull letter. Our pull letter can write 1,000 passages, 2 axes, or even write books. But when we hear the word of God and become the doer of God, there's always something. The work of enemy, our own situation, is always a hindrance to our obedience to Jesus Christ. Amen? So look at this passage. What is the breakthrough? What is the breakthrough that Peter and disciples experienced? The difficulties between the hearing and doing. So we need to learn one word, B-U-T. How to pronounce it? Say it again. So in this passage, I want to highlight one most important word of this passage. Spell B-U-T and pronounce it as, thank you for the English lesson. Let me teach you one in Chinese. Dan. Wow, so smart of you. Say it again. Dan. Okay, let me switch you back to English. So this word, in English, how to pronounce it again? Well, probably this is the English pronunciation. But let me teach you a spiritual pronunciation. Spiritual pronunciation is not only pronounced as but. It pronounced like this. But! This word express our struggle. The B-U-T, the blue letter and the pink letter. When we got the green letter representing the word of God, His commands, the inspiration God gave us, He moved your heart, want to do donation and gift, but the struggle. You know, wanted to follow, don't want to follow. He touched our heart to forgive someone. Want to forgive, do not want to forgive. But, you know this word? So this word is amazing. Most of the time I suggest people, our faith is not a flipping from a rational side of mind to irrational. Some people say, oh, by faith, you don't need to think about it. No. Jesus told us to count the cost. We know the consequence. We know the consequence, how much price we need to pay. So we are not flipping from rational mind to irrational mind. We are transcending from the rational realm to spiritual realm. So the leap, we call it faith. The leaping. So this is kind of a transrational experience from rational to spiritual. So it's called faith. Everybody say faith. We need faith. Faith is something that we may not be able to see every day, right? In Hebrews said the faith is like an anchor of our soul, right? Anyone, you ever get in a boat trip before? When you get on a boat trip, we use anchor to fasten your boat on in the middle of the sea, right? Or in the middle of the lake. Think of it. The time when you see the anchor in the front of a boat or in the back, is the anchor functioning? No. The moment the anchor throw into water, you cannot see it. It is working. So as faith. So faith, you cannot see. You know, if Dennis is being sent to 69, you know, someone told you, hey, Dennis, you must be successful, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, takes no faith for him. When Pastor Valakai sent him to Hong Kong, the church was only 3-4 years old. A small group of people, only one or two, you know, handful of, you know, on fire young men. As a pastor, we want to keep the capable men with us, right? But with faith, she sent him to Hong Kong, China. So I want to tell you to close the passage with testimony with Sharon to help you to understand this word B-U-T. But, okay, this photo was taken in 95, April, when we got married. Yes, Sharon, there's no change at all, right? I changed a little bit. Only hair get gray and less a little bit. Other than that, I'm still pretty much the same. Okay, we got married in April 95, and we already share a ministry in our church. She joined the full-time ministry 1 year earlier than I did. I was in 94, so we get married in April. And then, back then, our church is doing a lot of Bible ministry, as Dennis shared sharing this morning. We call it Donkey for Jesus, you know, taking Bible into mainland China. So my job is mainly every day in the border, helping our brothers and sisters from the West to smuggle or bring Bibles across the border, you know, pack it and deliver it to different parts of China. So we got an assignment back then in June. So about 2 months, you know, after we got married, a team from the United States, led by a minister by the name Marilyn Hickey. I don't know if you heard about her name, Marilyn Hickey. She took 200 brothers and sisters from United States in June. They said, well, June, because the beginning of summer, so our folks is more, you know, have more time. So they came and said, we will take 10,000 pieces of Bible. We fly into Beijing, China. So they threw 200 people from the Philippines to mainland China. And then Shane and I were the project manager to help the host, these 200 people, to help them to distribute Bibles. But I don't know if you are familiar with it. In June 4th, 1989, there's a big event took place in Tiananmen Square in Beijing. So in our operation was 95, only 6 years from 89. So June in Beijing was super tense. Yeah, the enemy, you know, the army of Beijing, they're searching and checking everywhere in Beijing. So we were the project manager. So cut the story short, you know, we helped to, you know, set the team, 200 people with three groups, every group with 3,000 plus Bibles, around 60 people. So Shen and I helped to arrange it, organize, you know, team A to come to the airport. We pick them up and then send them on the bus, you know, to a hotel. And then we return try to get the second team. The very time two of us returned to the airport, two policemen came up, arrest us. He asked us only one question. Hey, are you part of the religious book delivery people? You know, we are newlywed for 2 months. Sharon is holding an American passport. What she will face is a deporting, kicked out of the country. I am a Chinese citizen. I'll be detained. A friend of ours, you know, involved in some other ministry, he, because of, you know, the same thing, he was detained over 3 years. He did not be put into prison, but 3 years, the policeman will come, you know, to say hi and bye with you, but then he'll ask you money because you're causing trouble from them. So they'll ask the family for money, so corrupt. So I don't want to separate from my beautiful wife, and I don't have money for them. I don't know what to do. So in my heart, I was spinning. The policeman just keep continue pushing me. He said, tell me. I pretend I speak no English, no Chinese, because I'm with her. I said, hello, what are you talking about? You know, yeah. And then, with his English actually is better than mine. He started to talk with the English, come on! And then he repeated again, you know, are you involving? In my heart, I wanted to say some other thing. But, you know, when I was a little confused, I heard a Chinese, I grew up in Hong Kong, we speak Cantonese. When we were in Beijing, people speak Mandarin. So I heard some Cantonese word behind me, said this, 是就是是,不是就是不是. In English means, let yes be yes, let no be no. I turned around, nobody was there. Wow, I felt God speaks to me. I read Dennis' testimony. I read Brother Andrew's testimony. I read some other spiritual giants' testimony. Well, they all have different kind of miracles happens in their life. I felt, wow, maybe this is my time. I'm about to experience such a great testimony. But I was so afraid. I don't want to be put in prison. I don't want to be separated from my beautiful wife. You know, in my heart, I want to obey God, but I did not want to obey God. You understand that feeling? Art! As you say so. I told the policeman, yes, I am. I thought miracle took place. Maybe a thunder from above will strike them. The ground will split and swallow them, something like this, you know. I thought something will happen. But I was so disappointed. The guy, one probably is the supervisor, grab my shirt. Follow after me. Come to the police station. I was so disappointed. And Sharon hold my hand. We didn't know what to talk. And then not too far, probably from Pastor Daniel's seat, walked to Sharon's seat. And the one guy in front of us, one guy behind of us, the guy in front of us turned around. He asked me, oh, I forgot to ask you. Where is your hotel room card? He did not ask me for my passport. He only asked me for my hotel registration card. But in my heart, remember, before I was a Christian, I always a gambler. So in my heart, I told God, I said, okay, God, last time you were the dealer. This time I am in charge. I want to use my way. I want to say something. In my heart, I think Peter denied Jesus 3 times. If I deny 1 time, maybe I still got 2 chances. I want to say no. I want to say some other thing. I just want to get out of it. I want to talk myself out of the situation. Use my little, I thought it was a little clever brain. But before I can say anything, the same word came again. In Cantonese, let yes be yes. Let no be no. When I look around, nobody. I felt God spoke to me. Maybe he tested me first time. This is the second time. Okay, you know, remember, I was a smart guy. I know, you know, gambling. I go, okay, this time I need to be smart. But I'm still afraid. Because last time I did not have a good experience. B-U-T. Faith. Manifests in action, so as love. Amen? I gave the policeman my room card. I never forget this. He grabbed my room card. Without watching it, he flipped upon his head like this. And then he walked like this. Oh, I was a 27 years old man. I saw someone walking in front of me. I watched all the movies from Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee. I was so intimidated. To kick them. But I wasn't trained in that way. Before I have any move, I step out. The other guy behind me started to pitch me. I fell on the ground. Sharon picked me up. I told you, my faith of Christ bankrupt. We dropped to zero. There's a point of time in my life on that very moment. I felt everything is a lie. I don't know, have you ever experienced that in your Christian faith? You put your faith in Jesus, but the circumstances, everything turned out opposite. You pray, nothing happened. Oh, the people die. Oh, you pray for something, you know, even the worst scenario take place, and your faith job, in that very second, my favorite job, to ground zero. I don't know what to react. I was so angry, so fear, so confused. I couldn't even walk. The guy behind me pushed me. And Sharon hold my hand tightly. I'm glad I have a very good wife. Support me. Hold my hand tightly, even in the midst of confusion. And all of a sudden, remember the guy walking in front of me? He was freezed. And then he turned around like a zombie. He did not say anything, but keep, So this, you know, with my room card. So I grabbed my room card and started to run with Sharon. And they ran around, you know, we were so scared, so afraid, we didn't know where to go. And then we went to the hotel to meet with the group A people. Because in between that, we were so afraid people were following us, you know, because we watched too much movie. So we were circling, you know, changing taxi and subway and this and that. So we reached the hotel at probably pretty late that night. We want to see Team A and tell them the situation. But surprisingly, I saw Team A, B, C all together. They've been, you know, gathered in a function room praying for us. You know, the thing was happened. They told us, Team B, every one of them, 60 people, 3,000 pieces of Bible were opened in the custom, Beijing airport custom. They said two officers checked them and they left. And we turned around in an hour and we described, you know, the face and look, probably exactly the same people that detained us. They said the guy returned, they changed their whole attitude from the first one to a second person and then just keep telling them, go, go. Yeah, go, go. And then they were leaving. You know, the team, you know, 60 people with 3,000 people, they left the custom, come out, want to find Shannon and I. But back then we have no cell phone, we have no WeChat or whatever, their text message. They couldn't find us. With 3,000 Bible, they don't know where to go. You know what? In the Beijing airport, thousands of people, all of a sudden they heard one sentence, the American brothers, they said, we know, well, Chinese looks the same. We don't speak Chinese, but one face, they know what is it. Guess what? One face. One word, they know. Hallelujah. In Beijing airport, yeah, they heard someone say, hallelujah. And that 60 American brother and sister scattered around the crowd and keep asking the Chinese guy, hey, hallelujah, hallelujah. Most of them, they were so scared. Oh, what is it? What is it? All of a sudden, a man and a woman stick a head out and say, hallelujah, hallelujah. So they hallelujah from the airport, greeting hall all the way, hallelujah, to the parking lot. So all these 3,000 Bible were safely, securely delivered. So let's put our hand together for God. God is good all the time. So we have to give our faith to overcome difficulties. So I don't want it to continue to the third point. You can see the note, give us faith to overcome all the limitation. You know, the disciples, you know, they want to catch big, a lot of fishes come up. Yeah, they cannot, you know, finish the catch in one boat. So they call the other boat to come to join them together. So Jesus told them, hey, do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they left everything and followed him. Hallelujah. So three things this morning I want to share. One thing called the faith of God. Overcoming. We'll overcome our past. Amen? The faith God gave us to overcome all the difficulties. So do not let the difficulty stop us from doer of the word of God. We are not only stuck in the hearing of the word of God. Let's put all the thing in practice. Amen? F-A-I-T-H. Faith. Amen? So one thing it takes is this word. B-U-T. I suggest you to put this word in your prayer. I suggest you to put this word in your prayer. When you pray, Jesus, I have this thing, oh, hard time, da, 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 da. And then do not forget. But as you say so. Amen? I will have action. I will follow up with action by faith. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Overcoming faith. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to touch some of us this morning. You need to make a decision to put up the cross every day, to bear the cross with Jesus every day. Are you willing to follow Jesus? Some of you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus for many years, but still, we need to make decision every day. Are you decided? Any difficulties is on your shoulder. I encourage you to open your heart, open your spirit to God. If I may, I encourage you to put one hand, lay one hand on your heart, on your chest. to pray for yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to touch you. And invite Him, the Holy Spirit to fill your spirit, not only your mind and heart, not only your mind and thought, but your heart. And tell God that you will follow Him. Come on. Are you willing? Are you willing to be a follower of Jesus? Determination. And tell Him this. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Come on. I have decided to follow. No turning back. Do not let your past hinder you. No turning back. No turn. One more time. I have decided. Come on, come on. Put your faith in God. Overcome the past. I have decided. Overcome the difficulties. I have this. Yes, Jesus. Overcome all the limitations. No turning back. No turning back. Father God, pray for every one of us. This morning, open our heart and spirit. Let the Word of God deal with our hearts. We have different situations, but God, you know it all. Help us to be able to overcome our past, to be able to enter into the new season you have prepared for us. Do not let the enemy's lies, the difficulties, and our weakness become the hindrance to your work. Let us become the hearer and doer of the Word of God by steps of faith. No matter this step is big step or small step, let us, every one of us, have this bonus, this courage to step out with action, to be able to open the door of miracles in every one of our life, not only in ourselves. Let us go out to preach to others about the greatness and goodness of Jesus. I pray and bless every one of us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.